You're listening to Optimize et App, a technology podcast powered by Naviate.
You know, you talk about keeping the momentum alive. You talk about speaking with people and engaging with both parties, both your colleagues worldwide and your clients worldwide. How would you say the industry is going at the moment, and any trends within the industry for building information management?
Well, that is also a big topic, right? I think the trends from when I started, because I've been in there, I've been sort of looking at the BIM side of things probably since 2010 or so, 2011. Before that was working more purely as on the architecture side, you know, in the design space. And so obviously the trends have shifted from traditional workflows to more digital delivery. In the beginning, it was looking at how to produce more information more quickly, which was achieved. I remember the first time I delivered a project in Revit. It was for Gatwick, actually. Gatwick approached my company and were like, okay, we want to now shift over to Revit, but we don't know what we want. And you as a company haven't delivered a Revit project yet. So we'll work together to try and achieve this. So the learning curve with that was very steep. But after we delivered the first project, it was a success. You know, we thankfully got given that leeway both ways. But I could say after two or three projects that we delivered for this client, my director, the leadership and so on could basically see that on the scale of things like an airport, we were able to produce upwards of like three times the amount of information in the same amount of time than we traditionally would have.
Amazing.
So, I mean, that's the trend that kind of we're at now, right? Where not at now, but where we got to. I think the efficiency of producing information is everywhere. So now it's about more about quality of data. You know, that's the trend. It was this mystifying thing probably 5 years ago on what that means. You know, when we're talking about PAS or ISO requirements, COBE, it's like, okay, what is this thing? It's being used, it's being introduced, people don't quite understand it. Now it's rare to come across people who don't understand it to some sort of competent level, or at least being able to have a conversation about it. And so I feel the trends are going more towards, well, defining those requirements better, using that information better. And we've got all the focus when it comes to things like sustainability, energy usage, carbon analysis, and, you know, we're far more conscious of it. And this data lends itself to be able to leverage that.
Would you say, though, you know, it was only with the knowledge and with the training and with the upskilling that the industry has done that has got us to here? You know, you say about 5 years ago and where we was with kind of trying to define what data we need and the attributes and things. Would you say that, you know, internal competition or competition between companies and organizations and to always try and be at the forefront of things, would you say that's what's driven the industry to become more knowledgeable in this area and to be able to define what kind of data they need to have from within their models?
I think that's part of it. I think the biggest push initially was government requirements in order to be able to be considered for certain government projects over above a certain size. You need to be able to prove you can deliver a certain level of information requirements. And that was seen as more, well, we're going to lose work if we don't do it. Since then, the industry...
Almost like a threat.
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it was kind of scary. It's like, well, what happens if we don't? Well, you won't get the work. And as the industry started to deliver this more and more, it's become more apparent that it's actually a good way to work generally in order to have better quality of information. Even though there might be inefficiencies to start with, the learning curve, overall, it seems to be a solid way in order to produce information. And so the competition side is, well, who's able to now firstly deliver that quality, but do it in the most pertinent way? What is, besides government requirements, who can give it over in a fashion that can be used beyond that delivery? You know, looking at things like life cycle and so on. So that's the competition, is are you able to deliver it attractively? And generally attractively means at a lower cost. So, yeah. And a lower cost means giving only the valuable information and getting rid of the information that is bloating it.
With regards to building information modeling and the management of information, we've kind of, you know, spoken about how that's now kind come into fruition, and we're now seeing the fruits coming from the trees, if you like, so we can see the products happening. What would you say about technology and its role at the moment within the industry? So again, you can kind of, from within your role, you can kind of see where companies are at and you can see where the industry is heading. And I know later on we're going to be talking about your work with the universities. So where do you think the trend is at the moment with industries on technology?
Well, I think the trend has shifted in recent times, very recent times, in terms of where the topics lie of interest. So when ChatGPT kind of hit the headlines, let's say it was 6 months, let's say it was a year ago, but roughly 6 months ago, a lot of people hadn't heard of it. Now, who hasn't heard of it?
Hasn't used it?
And who hasn't used it? Yes. And that is coming up more and more. But of course, it's this giant topic and people are looking for answers. So the trend at the moment I see is try to be the first to use it, practically on some sort of delivery. And what does that look like? I mean, that could be things like, you know, you could use it to qualify your information with. You could use it to do analysis. You could do so many different possibilities, and it's kind of ask a question that may not have been asked before. You know, this is on the forefront of things. You know, when they say that, I forget the percentage, but they say like 80% of newborns will do jobs that don't exist, will have job titles that don't exist today. Wow. That is where we're at. We don't know the future because it's like, oh, well, obviously things like information requirements and so on will get more rigorous. Yeah. But maybe that's an outdated term. You know, maybe information is just old school in 5 years. You know?
That's an interesting stat, you know, because you think about where we are now. And I remember being in university and there was a role that was talked about saying, oh, you know, 10 years ago, this role wasn't there. And then slowly, slowly graduating after university, you realize, OK, there's new roles that's adopted to go with the times and you know, due to the industry picking up BIM, if you like, and those kind of technology advancements that has made those new roles, and it's the younger generations kind of pulling those roles through because they can adapt to something quickly new.
Yes.
They've not had to learn something from 30 years ago. It's so much quicker for the younger generation to adapt to it, so much quicker. So when you look at, you know, ChatGPT, for example, and who's utilized it already and who's been in the forefront of it, it's almost a bit like social media, isn't it? And, you know, you kind of get into social media, there's different channels, you play around with it, you test it. But again, it's one of those where, okay, how many people are using it? What do we need to use it for? Oh, is everyone on the platform? Okay, I'll get on the platform. You know, it's one of those kind of situations. Would you say then that it's the similar situation with the industry? Trying to be at the forefront is one thing, but also kind of holding back, because I know with building information modeling, when I saw the whole journey kind of unfold before my eyes, really, you know, I saw people holding back, waiting for other companies to see how they're doing it. And, you know, okay, so what's the trend? What's the best thing? You mentioned, you know, try it, be in the forefront, make a purpose out of it. You know, would you say that's the best advice? Or would you say hold back, go back to pen and paper, see how you want to utilize it, and then utilize it?
I think there's it's all about looking at risk management, I'd say. If you show your hands first, firstly, that is putting yourself on the forefront, which is great, which is making you the focus. The risk is showing your hands and revealing your secrets. So revealing your secrets means that others can take advantage of your hard work and look to maybe improve it. And I think both are good in terms of innovation. So, I mean, we've seen in almost all technologies how once something's created that is innovative, that it takes iterations and other expertise to perfect it.
But would you say, kind of looking at the risks ahead of trying to go through it, you know, looking at the risks and assessing how risky it might be, do you think that will stop the innovation, though? Do you think that will just, oh, I'm not going to do it because, you know, it's too high risk?
Yes, I think for a lot of people it is. I think it's definitely got to do with mindsets of what you want and your value system. I think when it comes to stability, perhaps that risk factor is too much. What does risk mean? It means failure, perhaps, you know, if you don't achieve it, but there's high reward. Sitting back means, well, you're not taking that risk, but you're not going to get that high reward close, but you're in a good chance to take advantage of the technology, but you won't be the first. Therefore, you might not hit the jackpot. Whereas in those people may, or they may go bankrupt. You going to be stable. Yeah.
I love that idea. And it takes me back to actually a really good quote that I heard a few years ago now from our CEO when I was at Symmetry. And the quote was, you're either successful or you learn. So really, there's no failure in it. Failure doesn't even come in. It's we learn from those experiences. Without those experiences and adoption of certain technologies and certain processes and going down the innovative route and just giving yourself that push, even though there might be some risks involved, giving yourself that push will give you that success criteria or give you that successful outcome, which could be nice and valuable. So
yes.
I really like that aspect.
And just to add to that, really, it's not always as straightforward as being the first. Yeah. It is also more about being the first to be heard. Yeah. And that is in so many industries. When you look at, say, the biggest tech companies out there, if you look at the Googles, the Microsofts, the Apples, they really weren't the first in a lot of ways. They were just the loudest.
Yeah.
And they ended up being able to build these things off technologies that already existed. Maybe they refined it. Yeah. And that's also a way to look at it, you know? But I still think...
That's where I think about, you know, sometimes when something new's there, maybe don't try it instantly. Have a look, research it, go to the pen and paper and think of how you're going to make it powerful, how you're going to make it really work. Okay, so Craig, in terms of technologies and, you know, the trends in industry that we were just talking about, I know that you attend a lot of exhibitions worldwide and you speak with a lot of clients worldwide. What's the trends that you're seeing that's emerging from the exhibitions at the moment?
So the expos, I'd say it's the difference from, say, a few years ago where we were looking at what is the adoption of, say, information look like. It has changed more towards how do we produce that information in innovative ways? And then also how to get to the point where it's useful. So being useful wasn't actually spoken about as much as it was. It hadn't been spoken about as much a few years ago as compared to now. Before it was like, how do I do this? Now it's about, to do it in a an exciting way, in an innovative way. So
bringing automation into it. Do you think there's automation that's having this? Yeah,
automation is huge. You know, going on to the AI things, how can AI help us with that automation? Looking at things like, I think a good sort of example of where things were 5 years ago in another aspect is things like XR, right? So I feel like 5 years ago, people think they know what that meant, looking at things like virtual reality, augmented reality, and they kind of gone, we've seen it, but we've not that impressed. We've kind of used it on the periphery and so on. The industry's moved forward. That industry has built and their technology improved massively, but people still have the mindset of 5 years ago. So the trends now was, what is the differences now? Why should you change the way you think about it? Because you can start using that as part of your everyday workflows rather than this stop start, which it used to be like, we can do a fancy presentation and that was about it. You know, we could get a client to look at their building and that's about it. Now it's like, how are you using that as part of your, to set yourself apart from the competition? So yes, I'd say the trends are definitely on how to do things better.
It's a good place to be, absolutely. And, you know, always having that 5 years mindset, you know, how we're going to now get through to the next 5 years and the next 5 years, is always good because it makes us always look forward to what is about to come and why we need to do that and have that drive.